For those of you who are staying with us, if you will turn in a Bible to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. We've been going through the book of Titus. And we a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Titus 3:3-3, and we talked about how God's gift of salvation is undeserved. And today we're going to unpack what that undeserved salvation looks like. Before I read from the passage of Titus, I want to remind you that a quote that Charles Spurgeon said once. He said, "When God speaks, it is the delight of our ears to hear what he says." It is the delight to hear what God says. And I want you to know that if you're not delighted by what you hear today from this text, there's something. You need to go to a doctor. You need to go checked out because there's something wrong there. This is exciting, amazing, beautiful, wonderful stuff here. It really is. So let's hear what God has to say and be thankful for it and delight in it. And this is what God says, starting in verse 3 of Titus 3. "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people." Let's pray. Father, we are very thankful for your word, and we long to delight in what you tell us. So open our eyes, Holy Spirit, open our ears, give us hearts that will receive the goodness of your word. Jesus, be the one who preaches to us today because we need to hear from you. And just as you left the realms of heaven and came to be with us, help me as I walk down from this pulpit to closer to your people. Help me to be able to proclaim the good news in a way that they will understand and will delight in your word to them. And for all who do not believe, who may be even sitting here today, Holy Spirit, would you be at work in them? That today would be the day that they would see just how good you really are. That they would taste and see that you are good and that they would want more by believing in the Lord Jesus and trusting in him alone for their salvation. Bring that about today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know if you guys have heard about this or not, but in November of 2017, there was a story right here in South Carolina that made national news. You don't see that very often. Happens every once in a while. 2007, November. And it all happened, get this, in a Waffle House. Alex Bowen made his way into a Waffle House in West Columbia really early on Thursday morning. And no one seemed to be in the restaurant. So he waited around for 10 minutes. No one took his order. No one seemed to be in the room. He walked outside and walked around to see if maybe, you know, they were on a smoke break or something. Didn't see anybody, so he came back in, waited for a few minutes. There was no one in sight, and finally he decided to take matters into his own hands. And so he went over to the grill, and he made his own food. That's right. He went to the grill, and he made himself, and I quote, a double Texas bacon cheesesteak melt with extra pickles. So Mr. Bowen, he took the initiative, and then he posted all of that on social media, and of course it blew up, and then the next thing you know, it's on the national news. Because this one man decided to take initiative to do something that he thought he really wanted. Now, part of the good news today is that someone has taken initiative for our salvation. And guess what? It wasn't us. It was God. God wanted something, and he decided to go after it, to take that initiative, to come after us. God has taken the initiative to save us. And that's what we see in this passage. And what a great salvation it is. That's what we want to talk about today. God has taken the initiative to save us, and what a great salvation it is. Now, I know this is a Presbyterian church, and I know that we don't usually, like, you know, give a little help when somebody's preaching. But I'm going to ask, if you're brave enough, give me a little help today. Because this is a good passage to get fired up about, if there ever was one. All right? God has taken the initiative to save us, and what a great salvation it is. Take a look at verse 3. This describes, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, this is who we were. We were foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures. We were passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. It's not a pretty picture, is it? And yet God took the initiative. God in his goodness and loving kindness came to us first. When the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. He saved us. Not because of what we've done. Not because of things that we did. Not because we deserved it. But because of his love, his mercy, his kindness. And this salvation that he has given to us, it is not some pie in the sky, go to heaven when you die kind of salvation. It is so much better than that. So much better. And that's what we want to talk about today. In fact, when I was thinking about this passage, it reminded me of the Cooking Channel show. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, The Best Thing I Ever Ate. Anybody ever seen that show? I'm the only one. All right. So, The Best Thing I Ever Ate, what it is a group of chefs. They tell you specific foods that they have eaten. Not that they heard about, but they have eaten themselves that they thought, this was the best thing I ever ate. And on one show, there was this 6-layer rainbow cake. I mean, this thing was beautiful. It's exactly what you think it would be. You know, you have 6 layers of super moist cake. And each layer of the cake is a different color. And in between each layer of multicolored, you know, pieces of cake, you have buttercream vanilla frosting in between each one. And then it's topped off with that buttercream vanilla frosting and coated with rainbow sprinkles. I heard an amen on that one. Now, there are some of you in the room right now who are thinking, that sounds delicious. And there are some of you who are saying, wait a second, I thought there were 7 colors. So why isn't it in the rainbow? So why aren't there 7 layers to this cake, right? Maybe you learned the acronym ROY G BIV in school. That's 7, not 6. I just watched the show, okay? I didn't make the cake. So you can take it up with the makers of the cake. I did not make the cake. But anyway, one of the things about that cake and all of the food on that particular show, this was the title of the show, Layers of Goodness. Layers of Goodness. And that's what our salvation is. Layers of goodness. And you start diving into those layers and you start to see just how good our salvation really is. It's not simply about one thing, it is layered. And that's what we see in this passage today. And we're not going to be able to talk about all of the layers of our salvation, but we can talk about the things that this our salvation includes from this passage. And among other things, this salvation includes, first, the recreating work of the Holy Spirit. The recreating work of the Holy Spirit. We see in this passage, verse 4, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." The washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. This is referring to how the Holy Spirit is poured out on people to bring them to Christ, to change them, to make them new creations in Christ. You know, one of my pastor friends recently had to have his car brought into the shop for some repairs, and he was hoping it was going to be a minor fix, and it turned out he needed a brand new transmission. 3 weeks in the shop, and I don't know how many thousands of dollars to take that old transmission out and put a new transmission in so that that car would run the way it's supposed to. And that's basically what this passage is saying, this regeneration, this renewal of the Holy Spirit. It is, as Ezekiel 36:26 says, "I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." That's what the Holy Spirit does. And that's part of the salvation that God has promised us in Christ. That He gives us the Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out. To make us new creations in Christ. And one of the things I love about this passage is it doesn't end there. It's not as if God says, okay, so the Holy Spirit's going to regenerate you. He's going to change you from the inside out. He's going to make you a new person. Look at verse 6. The Holy Spirit, whom God poured out on us richly. Richly. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Richly. You ever gone to one of the ice cream shops and you say, yeah, I would like some hot fudge on top of my ice cream. And they just put a little dip on it. And you're like, that's not what I want. I want it poured richly on my ice cream, right? Or maybe you're not an ice cream fan. A lot of hard workers here, people who go out into their yard and work hard. You ever gone out to the yard? There is a gnat right in my face. You ever gone out into your yard and, you know, that you need, there's an area that needs some watering. And so you take your garden hose and you go over to it and you turn on the hose and there's just a tiny little trickle of water coming out. And you're thinking, what's going on? I know I turned it on. And then you look back and there's a kink in the hose. What happens when you go back to that kink and you take it out and then you turn it on? Then the water flows. It's not a trickle. It flows freely. There is no kink that keeps God's grace from flowing to us freely, lavishly, richly. And God has poured out on his people the Holy Spirit richly. You hear me? Richly. We don't have to ask for the Holy Spirit's presence in our hearts. He has already poured it out on us richly. He has already poured the Holy Spirit out on us richly. The Holy Spirit resides in us and changes us from the inside out. Now, we do need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. We do need to walk by the Spirit. And we do need to ask for that. But we don't have to ask for the Spirit, period. Because God has richly poured the Spirit out on us already. Do you believe that? Do we believe? That's the real issue here. And this is part of the salvation, the goodness, the layers of salvation that God has given us. He has poured out His Spirit on us richly to change us from the inside out. And let me tell you where this comes into play. Okay, real life. Have you ever thought, you've got this problem, and you think, I will never change? That is a lie. Because God has poured out the Holy Spirit on you. If you're a believer, God has poured out the Holy Spirit on you richly to change you from the inside out. And while you may battle, while you may fight, while you may see ups and downs, the end is promised and you will change for the good. And that goes for other people too. You ever found someone that you think, that person will never change? Well, if God gets a hold of them, if God pours out His Spirit on them richly, they'll change. One way or the other, they'll change. Because that's God's promise, to change people, sinners, people who were foolish, people who were rebellious, people who were hated and hated by others, as this passage talks about. He changes those people from the inside out. That's part of the good news of our salvation. That's part of the layers that we see. So that's the first layer in this passage. The second layer of this beautiful and wonderful salvation is this. Not only has God given us the Holy Spirit, richly poured out on us to recreate us from the inside out, He has given us a right relationship with God through Christ. A right relationship with God through Christ. Again, verse 4, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, verse 5, He saved us. Verse 6, through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace. There's that word, justified. Justified. What does that mean? Martin Luther once said that if the article of justification stands, the church stands. But if this article collapses, the church collapses. What is this belief that we have that is so important that if we don't believe it, the church collapses, according to Martin Luther? It's the belief that God in Christ has given us a right relationship with Himself. And how did He do that? There was a great exchange. We were foolish. We were disobedient. We were these kinds of people that this passage talks about. And yet, God in His grace took our sin, the curse of our sin, the penalty of our sin, and He placed it on Jesus at the cross. And as one of the hymns that we sing says, my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. That's part of this right relationship that God gives us. The debt that we owed, Christ pays. The curse has been placed on Him. And now we are free from that curse. But that's not all in this right relationship. Like I said, there's a great exchange. We gave Christ our sin at the cross, and in His resurrection, He gives us His righteousness. 33 perfect years of living according to God's will, credited to your account. Wrapped in the robes of Jesus, so that when God looks at you, He sees His Son. That is part of the layer of the salvation that God has given us. He's not only changing us from the inside out, He has given us a right relationship with Him forever. That nothing we have done, nothing we are currently doing, nothing that we will do can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. Think about it this way. I know there are some runners in the congregation. Imagine you're running a race. Let's say it's a 5K. And you start off strong, and yet about 100 yards into this 5K, you fall and you break your leg. And you're lying there in agony, and you're trying to move because you think, I got to cross the finish line, but there's no way you're crossing the finish line. Not a chance. The winner of that race, after it's all over with, he's got a medal hanging around his neck. And he comes over to you, and he picks you up, holds you like this, takes the medal off himself, and puts it on you, and says, here's the real winner. I'm sharing my win with him, with her. That's what justification is like. Get all the benefit of Jesus, even though you couldn't finish the race on your own. Isn't that beautiful? And that's, again, part of this layer of salvation God has given us, the Holy Spirit, immeasurably to us, richly poured out to change us from the inside out. God has given us a right relationship with Himself by taking care of our sin problem and taking care of our unrighteousness problem. He's made us right with Him in the Lord Jesus, and that will never change for those who believe. And not only that, He's given us a destiny. He's given us a destiny of abundant life in the age to come. A destiny of abundant life in the age to come. Again, verse 4, when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Verse 7, so that being justified by His grace, having that right relationship with Him in Christ, we might become heirs. Heirs according to the hope of eternal life. An heir inherits something, right? It's like, you know, that old adage about the uncle who dies that you didn't know anything about, and then you find out that you have billions of dollars, right? You inherit it. Let's think about that for a minute. I do not have a rich uncle. But if I did, and my rich uncle died and left me and my sister billions of dollars, you better believe I'd be excited about that. You better believe that that would change my life. You better believe that that would make an impact on the way that I live. What is it that we will inherit in Christ? Is it billions of dollars? No, it's better than that. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that in the former times God spoke through the prophets, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, listen to this, whom He appointed the heir of all things. The heir of all things. Everything belongs to Jesus. And we are co-heirs with Christ. As His bride, He shares with us everything He has. Everything. That's your destiny. That's your future. If you were in Christ, that's what you will inherit. Everything. And along with that, abundant life. In this passage, we see how he says being heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And we hear about that and we think, oh, eternal life, that's so good. It's the life that never ends. And yes, it is that. But it's better than that. I've used this illustration before, so forgive me for, you know, taking up old material and rehashing it, but hey. Sometimes we need to hear these things over and over again. I'll tell you what eternal life would be like if it's just life that never ends. Be like a zombie. Your body continues to deteriorate, but you don't die. You're still battling in a world of sin inside you and outside of you, but you don't die. Is that the kind of life that Christ gives us? No. The life that Jesus gives us is not just life that never ends. It is abundant life. It is life with our Father forever. It is life that one day, the life of the age to come, there will be no more sickness, there will be no more pain, there will be no more sorrows, there will be no more sin. And that is the life that we have in Jesus. That is what we inherit in the end. Not just life that doesn't end, but life that is so unbelievably good. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has even conceived of how good it will be. Do you hear what I'm saying? That is part of the layer of salvation that God has given to us in Christ. He has poured out His Holy Spirit richly on us to change us from the inside out. He has given us a right relationship through the Lord Jesus dying on our behalf and rising from the dead to make us right with our God. And He has given us a destiny where we will have goodness so good that we can't even comprehend it. And even though we have to go through difficult times here and now, we fix our eyes on Jesus, and for the joy set before us, we run the race with perseverance. Because we know in the end, we win. And we get it all. That's a pretty good salvation, right? That's right on up there, you know? It's almost as good as, like, you know, getting a new Nintendo Switch. My kids got a Nintendo Switch over the weekend. They saved up their money, and they're so excited about it. This is so much better than a Nintendo Switch. This is so much better than anything that we can imagine, because we can't even fathom how good this salvation really is. And because of this great salvation given to us freely in Christ, we not only celebrate God's goodness, and we do, we desire to reflect it in the way we live. That's what this passage tells us next. We not only celebrate God's goodness, we desire to reflect it in the way we live. We don't want to be foolish anymore. We don't want to be disobedient anymore. We don't want to be led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures. We have no desire to be passing our days in malice and envy and being hated by others and hating one another. No, we want, verse 8, the saying is trustworthy. I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works, because these things are excellent and profitable for people. It's good for us to grow in goodness, to reflect God's goodness. And it's not just good for us internally, it's good for other people. It's good for us across the aisle. It's good for this community, for us to reflect God's goodness. And God has really been good to us, has He not? I'm about to get nerdy for a moment. Some of you are used to that, so it's okay. Have you ever heard of the astronomical term albedo? Albedo is the measurement of how much sunlight an object in space reflects. So, for example, the planet Venus has a 75% albedo rate. That means 75% of the sunlight reflects off of Venus. That's why it's one of the brightest stars in our sky. It's not a star, but you know what I'm saying. Jupiter is 52% albedo. Mars is 29. The moon, even though the moon is really close to us, only 12% albedo. Only 12% of the sun's light is actually reflected back to us. But even that little bit of light can make a huge difference in the night sky. You ever been out on a night where no moon is showing and how dark it is? And then you have the full moon, only 12% apparently, and yet it brightens up the night. I know some of you think, but Stuart, I hear what you're saying. I want to reflect Jesus more. I want to reflect the goodness of God more. I want to reflect my salvation more, but I just don't do it well. It doesn't have to be much. It just reflects. When you see how good God is, it will reflect. And even if it's small, even if it's a 12% kind of reflection, it can light up the darkness. Because it's not you shining, it's Jesus shining through you. And that's what we want, right? To reflect the goodness of our Savior, to reflect our God, not only by saying things, but by the way we live. And that's what this passage is saying. I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. So, church, let's praise our God for this great salvation. Let's praise Him, not only with our lips, but with our lives. I'm going to pray for us that we will do that. Let's pray. Father, thank You for such a great salvation, that You have poured out Your Holy Spirit on us richly, so that we would be changed from the inside out, that we would be new creations in Christ. Thank You for this gift of justification, that we are made right with God, not by the works that we do, but because of what Jesus has done on our behalf at the cross and in His resurrection. Thank You for clothing us with His righteousness as well as forgiving us of our sins. Thank You for giving us this destiny of a new heaven and a new earth where everything will be good and life will be abundant. And thank You that all of this comes freely through Your grace, not by our works, but by what You have done for us, that You took the initiative, You came after us, and You've loved us well. Now help us to praise You and thank You with our lips and with our lives for all the goodness that You've shown to us. Cause us to reflect Your glory back to You, to each other, and to this community. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.